Hey Lisa.
Hey David.
I don't have any intro for this one.
Maybe you should tell people what you think the name of this movie was.
I thought it was Next Months.
Yes.
Well, I didn't think it was Next Months. I just said it wrong.
Yes. And then that led to a whole game of us switching the front letter of movies around.
Yeah, switching the first letter of two of the words around.
Yes.
And coming up with such great movies as Bargent Silco.
Yep.
The Willy Chonka and the Wokolet Factory.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Many more.
I was going to say something about, like potholes and whatever, like that thing, but it's not, it didn't. Anyway, That's cool. We're going to do a movie called Mixed Nuts.
Yes, Mixed Nuts.
What year is
this movie?
This movie is 1994.
1994. I want to tell you, you look like 1994.
Well, maybe.
This movie did.
This movie looked like an 80s movie, that sort of 90s movie. It was weird.
It was.
It feels like the kind of movie that they started to write in 1985, and then by the time they got it done, it kind of didn't suit the time period it was in.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, this is the start of our Christmas, because we're in December. So it's our first Christmas movie. And as is tradition.
Today is the 3rd of December.
That's
third.
Right. As is tradition.
No.
Is it?
4th.
Okay.
My bad.
That's okay. That's Sorry. All right. Well, today's not actually there anyway. We're recording before that.
Obviously.
The recording date.
But it's
that.
I know the date is the 4th of
good.
December.
I have no idea.
I have stuff booked in.
Oh, do you?
I'm getting a delivery of cupcakes today.
Oh, good.
Over 1,000 cupcakes you're going to help me decorate.
Oh, I thought we were just hungry.
I am a fat bitch.
I want some cupcakes.
I'm like a fat bitch on a cupcake.
We're like that video game we got to feed Princess Cupcake.
Oh, Princess Cupcake.
Yeah, whatever
feed her a cupcake. That way she doesn't go away. How about cupcakes?
So, this is the start of Christmas, and as is tradition... Oh, I thought you were doing something else then.
No. That's the Christmas music in my head.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
As is tradition.
Yes.
So the very first Christmas movie that I choose.
Yes.
I want to choose something that's a bit offbeat.
Yes.
Not Christmassy too much and kind of is, I don't know, maybe a little bit, I don't know how you describe it.
Dysfunctional.
Dysfunctional is a great word.
You love a dysfunctional Christmas movie.
I love a dysfunctional Christmas movie.
Oh, they're the only kinds of Christmas movies that exist.
Well.
Really?
There is.
This leads to dysfunction and then everything gets right.
I suppose National Lampoon's is dysfunctional,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's all dysfunction.
Santa Claus isn't really dysfunctional.
Yeah, it is, because he struggles with the whole thing of it and then he gets caught out that he is Santa.
Yeah, but okay. But the difference is the kind of movies that I'm picking, they're Christmas movies, but everyone is miserable.
Yes.
There's no one who is happy.
You like Christmas's misery.
Only because I like to set the expectation very low at the first movie, and then I like to just like hit it like I did last year with Office Christmas Party. Just hit that party.
That was good.
Yeah, so I'm going to try that again this year. Let's see which one I pick.
I've already picked two Christmas movies I like, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we're just going to go with them.
Well, we're going to see, because it's going to be funny if you pick the first one and then I pick my movie and it's the same as your movie you want for Christmas.
That would be interesting.
Anyway, let's get to Mixed Nuts.
Mixed Nuts. Who's in Mixed Nuts?
1994 movie.
Nat
Pop. Let's do budget and box office first.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The budget of this movie was $20 million.
I was going to say it was a low budget.
Mm. How much do you reckon it did?
Nice. I reckon it did terribly. $25 million, if that.
6.8.
Oh,
this died.
I never heard of it.
This died. This is the thing. I heard of this. Like I said to you, when you said, oh, how do you know this movie? And I went, well, I went through this little bit of a Steve Martin phase in the late 90s. I think when I started working at the video store in about 98, 99, and I decided that I wanted to watch some Steve Martin movies, because when I was a kid, I watched a movie of his, and I used to watch it all the time. It was one called Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Uh-huh.
And it's not a great movie, but I loved it.
I watched a Steve Martin movie regularly as a child.
Yeah.
Mine was Three Amigos.
Yes. I also loved Three Amigos.
Yeah.
I also liked Father the Bride. I also liked...
Parenthood for me.
Yep. I liked Parenthood.
Yeah.
And there was, so I was like, oh, I reckon there's got to be some more Steve Martin things. I think he was doing some stand-up as well around the late 90s as well. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of, saw him and went, you know what, I'm going to look for ones. And then I saw L.A. Story
mm-hmm.
on TV and I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And I thought, let's
look for other ones. Like,
yeah, and I kind of saw another Steve Martin movie and went, I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
And you know what, when I first watched this, I think I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I watched it this time, I think I less liked it. But... it was still okay. It's not a bad movie.
It is a star-studded movie.
Yeah, but at the time I wasn't thinking it was that star-studded. Anyway, let's talk about the people. Obviously not.
Yeah.
Right, so Steve Martin, obviously.
Yeah.
Then Madeline Kahn.
Yeah.
We've got Robert...
so tired.
Robert Klein.
Yeah.
Anthony LaPaglia.
Yes. The Starsky and Hutch trying to look cool.
That's
Anthony
right.
Anthony LaPaglia.
Juliette Lewis, who we found that you don't like.
No, I don't.
Rob Reiner.
Yep.
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler.
Yep.
It's been registered in this movie.
Liv Schreiber. Schreiber. Jesus, I can't get his name right.
Yep.
Rita Wilson.
Yes.
Parker Posey. John Stewart. Gary Shandling, Stephen Wright, and a little cameo piece by Haley Joel Osment.
Yes, tiny little kid. They said, Haley Joel Osment's in this movie. And then he writes it down and he goes, oh, he did get billed for this.
He actually
movie.
Got the credit. He got just credited.
Didn't get mentioned.
He was part of the staff.
Yeah,
he was at this Christmas party.
Yes, he was. Lucky him. It's good to get invited to the Christmas party.
I always love to be invited to the staff Christmas party,
oh, yeah.
Especially of a movie like Nick's Mutts.
Yes.
Anyway, so we've got a little bit of trivia things.
Please share.
There's not too many. So apparently the character of Chris, which is the Liv Schreiber character, was that was his movie debut.
Yes.
Okay. And originally they were going to have a different person in this movie
to
play that role. I will give you 10 guesses and you could try and think of who it could be. You have no idea. How about...
So this is the cross-dressing person, right?
This is the cross-dresser.
This is...
So in this is the 90s, right? So cross to the... That was actually billed as the transvestite.
Right.
Right? Which is not an accurate description and not...
Well
enough said now. But that's how the character is called.
Yes.
But yes, the person called Chris, who identifies as a female. Another male, a comedian... Someone who we have had in a movie.
Oh, that narrows it down. Thanks, Daze.
Recently?
Jim Jefferies.
No, even more recently than Jim Jefferies. Jim Jefferies would be very young in this.
Well, I watched The Flash today. Was it Michael Keaton?
No, it wasn't. Michael Keaton, this would be great.
It would be.
I think Michael Keaton would actually kill in this role.
He would absolutely slay.
He would be great in this. No, a movie we did on the podcast.
Nicolas Cage? No. Oh, so a recent movie that we did.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I don't even remember what I did this morning. What did we do last week?
Last week was Bridesmaids, but it wasn't that. It was the week before.
So it was your choice, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the shit movie after my mate's versus the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. Which,
look, I know there's a process, guys. I'm getting to it.
That's okay.
What's the shit movie that
you did? It had Matthew Perry in it.
Oh, that one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my brain's not working because...
you're okay. You're just bursting the laughter.
My child just sent me a message, which I read on my watch.
Yeah.
Never fucking say slay again.
Slay.
Who did it this time? Not me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, I'm going to put you in misery.
Yeah.
Chris Farley.
Oh, Farley.
Could you imagine Chris Farley playing this role?
Yeah, you know why? Because I watched that. What was that one where he goes back in time and he meets the guy from High School Musical? I watched that after the fact, and that's all I can think about now. What is it?
Not 30, Matthew Perry.
30, yeah, yeah. But when you said Matthew Perry, that's what I'm thinking of because we watched that after the fact.
Yeah, it was Zac Efron as a child.
That's right, yes. As a non-musical child.
So, yeah. Okay. So Chris Farley was offered this role and turned it down.
Good on him.
I'm really glad that he did because...
I don't think he could have done this very well.
No, he would have been over the top and it would have been ridiculous.
Yes.
And I don't think I wanted them to play that way. I actually really love, in this role, I'm going to call him Cotton Weary because that's all I know.
I was just going to say Cotton Weary.
Cotton Weary is... He does such a good job in this role.
He really
role.
Does, because it makes you think he's actually the murderer.
He's not Excuse playing me. It comedically. He's playing it straight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
I love
that.
You
don't want someone playing it comedically, because it takes
it the becomes power the bird out of the
cage. Role. Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty much what it becomes. It's the birdcage. Like, yeah, exactly.
And oh, now I want to watch that. Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll have to choose that next year.
No, well, it's not Christmas Eve, so I can't.
No, that's right. Okay, so the director, which is Nora Ephron,
mm-hmm.
is the voice of the LA
related,
Times.
Is she related to Zac Ephron?
I don't know. I think it's spelt differently.
Okay.
Is
narrator?
Is the... Yeah, no, she's the voice when he calls up LA Times oh. and starts doing the
yes.
press one for whatever. So that's the director's voice.
Right.
What's next? Remains the Oh, this is... It does actually say it's whatever. It's based on a French movie.
Makes sense.
So it's based on a French movie. It's very French movie feeling.
Yeah,
right?
It has.
And also right in the wheelhouse of Steve Martin. If ever a comedian in that kind of that mold to do a French farce, it's Steve him. Martin.
Yes, he played the fucking Pink Panther dude.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. The title of the movie, translated from French, is Santa Claus is Garbage.
Oh, that's not nice to Anthony LaPaglia's character.
Yeah, no, that's what it is. That's
incredibly harsh.
The whole talk about, you know, the whole pillows routine where he talks about, oh, how many, Rob Reiner says, how many pillows does your wife have? And mm-hmm. Oh, you remember that part?
Mm-hmm.
It's also used in the movie Along Came Polly. So it's almost exactly the same dialogue. They just rip it off in this movie.
That skit is used in so many comedy skits.
I know.
I've heard it over and over again.
Yeah, exactly.
And just for the record, I only have two pillows on my side, two pillows on David's side. That's it.
So this movie could have been a little bit nicer for you because there was alternative people that could have played the roles that were played by LaPaglia and Juliet Lewis.
Oh, I was happy for LaPaglia, but...
Yeah, so the guy playing LaPaglia's role was possibly going to be a guy called Kadeem Hardison. Don't really know him very well. And the... I don't know if they were a package deal, but I probably would have gone with this. The other person playing Juliet Lewis' role would have been Rosie Perez. Remember Rosie Perez?
Oh, the other one that looks like...
She looks a bit like the girl from Fast and the Furious, but she's not her.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
It kind of looks similar.
Yeah, she would have done the role. She would have done Unhinged very well as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think, look, she plays the role fine. It's just, I don't know, something about her rubs me the wrong way.
She's still playing almost the same character she's playing in National Lampoon's.
Yeah, she's a whiny.
Yeah.
She's whiny.
She always plays the same role.
Yeah.
It's very similar. Juliet Lewis hasn't got much range. Yeah. I'm really sorry to Juliet Lewis if she ever finds this and listens to it.
Yeah.
But realistically, especially in this time period, she pretty much plays the moody teenager even right into being a 20-something-year-old, Moody's 20-something-year-old.
Yeah, no, she's just a constant whinger.
It's just that's what she plays.
Yeah.
I think that's it. That's okay. All I've really got. So shall we start off the movie?
Let's get our mixed nuts on.
Okay. So
I hope they're salted.
I said, what if Lisa had actually been watching the credits at the start and then she would have noticed all the names?
I like to be surprised.
You're looking down and I was watching this and I actually started watching you because as the names are coming up, Adam Sandler comes up, Ethel Palia comes up, and I'm like, she's not reacting. Why is she not reacting? I turned over. And you were on your phone. And I'm like, oh, she's going to get really surprised when these people turn up in this movie.
And I was like, oh. Joe turns up.
Anyway, you...
So there's two wankers traveling with rollerblades with a Christmas tree on the boardwalk. Then you also see Martin on his bike. Then there's a collision with a Santa Claus and a screaming pregnant woman. And Steve Martin's trying to help the situation. And I said, what if he was helpful? What if he was able to defuse the whole situation?
Mm.
You know, then the rest of the occurrences wouldn't have happened. This is a first watch for me too, so it was a bit weird.
Yep.
And I said, what if she ran into the rollerblading couple and went into labor?
Oh, yes. Because
yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
They, in that last bit when they're kind of, just before they do the fight, there's a song that plays over the main credit at the start.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what if all the singers didn't have their balls in a vice? Because
mm-hmm.
everything has been sung super high-pitched.
Yeah.
And then I went, what if they showed Christmas spirit, the fact that they're rollerblading with a Christmas tree, you think that maybe they might?
Yeah.
And then she gets pissed off with
LaPaglia. They apparently spent hours looking for this tree.
Yeah, I know. So
all the Christmas spirit had truly evaporated at that
Well, point. I mean, maybe they should have driven out to wherever the hell Clark Griswold got his from.
Yeah.
And they would have been much better.
Mm.
And then maybe her eyeballs and her placenta of the baby would have been frozen over.
Fair enough.
So I said when she runs back and she makes this phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, what if she called the psychic hotline? What if she called Hot Gossip?
It's not. What if she called Dr. Phil?
It's too early for Dr. Phil. She'll probably have to call Oprah.
Oprah. Most sex lines are at night, so I can't offer that one.
Well, no, I think they go all day long, don't they?
No, I remember.
Do they?
I remember there was a radio show back when we were teens.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Dr. Feelgood.
Feelgood. I think that was her name.
Was that the one? Yeah, there was a lot of song dedications.
Yeah, and she was a sex therapist.
There was Dr. Feelgood.
She was on radio.
Yeah, it was definitely Dr. Feelgood.
On a night time and you could call and ask questions.
Yeah.
Because I actually did that. I actually spoke to her at one point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Celebrity, you were on radio as well.
Back in the day, I was a bit raw back then, but I've definitely narrowed it down to a finer quality of shit.
How many times have you been on TV this year or possibly on TV this year? Twice?
It depends if our episode of the 1% Club gets up.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to make it this year, to be honest.
Just once then.
What was this year's? What was I?
Mardi Gras,
yeah.
Oh, weren't you also on that Australian Story?
Oh, yes, yeah. Australian Story as well.
You were on that Australian Story thing.
Yep, yeah, that's
so true. You're on twice.
Yeah, and I'll be on Mardi Gras TV next year, I'm sure, at some point.
Yep, and TV again, and that's just...
And then 1% Club, and then we're having an appearance on Mastermind.
I know, we're the best.
I've been on radio. How many times I've been on the radio.
I think I was on...
I think it's been about two or three times.
Once.
Apart from Dr. Feelgood, I do back in, oh God, I can't even tell you what year this was now. I think it was 2018 or 19.
Yeah.
We were supposed to do the Miss Muddy in the Hunter Valley.
Oh, yes, and
The business got sold to some person mm-hmm. who then ran it into the ground and it went bankrupt. So the whole event was cancelled. People weren't going to get their money back.
I remember that, and you were.
And someone asked the question about if anyone would like to talk on the radio about it, so I did.
Mm.
And I can't remember the radio station that I was on, but I didn't even get to hear it back because it was done live.
Yeah.
And I just remember I was talking to them as I was hanging up my washing, and they're like, "Why has this affected you?" And I'm like, "Because a lot of moms don't put money towards themselves. It takes a lot of effort for us to put something for ourselves." And it's fucked us all over. I was irate.
Oh, yeah. As you should be.
So, yeah.
Anyway. Let's keep going.
Stay away from my stuff.
I got to the point where Gary Shanley turns up in the building.
Yeah, but before that, I just went, what if men had sex with trees? I mean, you know.
I mean, they're much easier to find trees then.
There's sap, so it's lubricant.
Yeah, well, no, but wouldn't it be a little bit, like, sticky? You want it to glide.
Well, it's got to be. It's got to be the best glide. Why don't you
glide?
Depends on the tree, I suppose.
Yeah.
You don't want a conifer. That's sticky as fuck.
No, not a conifer. No. You don't want. Is the conifer the one that Clark Griswold has in the?
Yeah, it's like a Christmas tree.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the ones that were.
Christmas trees, conifers, or are they pines?
They're pines, but it's like a Christmas tree. You know that big tree that was on my driveway to the right, that big bushy thing.
Yeah, that's a conifer.
That's a conifer.
Yeah, I've got conifers.
And they've got the little nuts.
They're not Christmas trees, though.
Little seeds. No, they're not Christmas trees, but they would pass as one.
Yeah, I suppose you could use a conifer.
Yeah, you could.
If you really had to.
If you had to, in a pinch, you could use a conifer
as a Christmas tree. You could use a lily pilly in a pinch.
You could not.
Yeah, you could. Oh, I reckon I could shape it.
Yeah. It's like a hedge. Too.
Yeah, it's like a hedge.
I suppose.
You'd shape it.
Yeah, but a conifer doesn't need to be shaped. It's already in that cone shape. Yeah. That's why it's called a conifer. It has cone in the title.
It does.
So I'm smart.
You are very smart. Okay, you, let's get to...
Stanley. What if Stanley was a wog?
Well, I've got pretty much the same thing. I was like, I love the fact that that Gary Shandling is turning off some of the lights on the walls.
Yeah.
And I went, imagine if, what if that had come back? Like, what if he had turned off all the lights but one, and then that one goes out, and then someone hurts themselves in there?
Yeah.
Or whatever happens. Like, it's the lights going out makes a big difference. It doesn't end up doing anything.
Yeah. I think he's wog. We didn't realize that maybe he's just trying to catch his neck victim.
Yeah, let's get to that at the end because that makes no sense.
Yeah.
So
kind of dim the light.
That is the part of the movie that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I just said, what if it gets dark later, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I
did say, what if an emergency occurred and everyone perished because the exit light was out,
mm-hmm,
and Stanley became ruined?
So then we've met very occasionally or very quickly. We've met Steve Martin's character, but mm-hmm, he's kind of like taking us through everything, and he takes us upstairs to see Mrs. Munchnik.
Yeah, She's so tired,
sick and tired of phone calls.
Oh, it is true. It's true.
I would love if she still had that voice in this movie.
Absolutely. Please don't leave.
So I said, what if he was more of a re-gifting pro and didn't just re-gift the gift that he got the year before?
Yeah, I doubt he even unwrapped it. He just left it in its original wrapping.
A fruitcake.
Mm-hmm.
How lovely.
Who gives someone a fruitcake at Christmas? You should be shot if you give someone a fruitcake at Christmas.
Maybe they should have given them a, what's the Seinfeld one? A membership to the Human Club or something he calls it, the Human Society.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because that's his own charity.
He makes a charity and he gives it to him.
Yeah.
Like I could imagine very much him doing that. It's there because we're supposed to know that Steve Martin's got almost no money.
Yes.
So how does he fund this company anyway? Because it's not for profit.
He must have to get donations from somewhere, but he obviously hasn't been pulling his weight in the donation department.
Yeah, so he needs to be better with the donations rather than... Yeah. And so in the background you see that there is a thing sign saying new condos coming soon. Sounds like Stanley is selling the place.
Yes. How they've gone this far without realizing they're not going to be part of it. I don't know how he's gotten us to not be evicted. Everybody else has been evicted.
Yeah, they're so dumb.
They're so naive.
They're so dumb.
He's able to just pull the wool over their eyes. These are two very smart women, and yet they both just listen to his word as if it's gospel.
Yeah. I think Mrs. Munchnik.
She should be smarter.
I feel like the Rita Wilson character, what's her name again? Can't remember her name now. Rita Wilson.
Yeah.
So I feel like Rita Wilson is...
Catherine,
that's right. I feel like Catherine is so smitten with him that she doesn't really...
She's not listening to him. She's too busy Googling.
Yeah, exactly.
Not Googling him.
So this is what I mentioned at the very start of the scene. I didn't put it in here, but this is Steve Martin with the dyed hair.
Yes.
But it's kind of blondish dyed. It's different.
Okay. I was wondering in the timeline if this fits in with the second
Father
of the Bride, because this is exactly how he dyes his hair in that movie.
Is it? I feel like he goes darker in Father of the Bride.
It's pretty much the same.
Okay, all right.
I feel like it's maybe one shade whatever off.
It feels lighter.
It's so the same, because it makes me think that he's cheating on his wife. That's how close it is in my brain, because I'm a big fan of both those Father of the Bride movies.
So we're to the part where Steve Martin is talking with the girlfriend.
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
My one isn't until Felix comes into the picture.
Oh, okay. So he contacts his girlfriend, which I can't remember her name is, fiance. Susan, the fiance.
Susan.
So there he should have in the Human Fund if his fiance is Susan.
Yep.
Anyway, I went, what if she just faxed him the breakup?
Yeah.
If he received it via fax.
Yes.
Because if he received it via fax, then Catherine might have seen the breakup and then she might have been like, I'm on here.
Yes.
This could be a...
It's time to shine.
Because she really holds off for a while until she finds out. And it doesn't take that long to find out. But if she'd faxed him earlier, then maybe Catherine would be...
Can I say she's a better woman than me, because I would not have held off.
No.
If that was you?
Yeah.
I'd be flirting to the nth degree.
look, we don't know how much she flirts normally.
No.
We don't know how much he's not.
He's completely oblivious to the fact that she likes
him. So they're very much like us.
Yeah. Like you. I'd make it obvious. I thought I did make it obvious.
I don't know what my next one is, because it says, what if you could sing your way out? I don't know what that's regarding, but...
I think it's something he does.
I don't know.
So the next one, I have Felix in it. Are we up to Felix?
Go yet? Felix, yeah.
I said, what if Felix could fix it? What if he opened a record store franchise and then ended up buying it?
Yeah, that'd be good. I wonder if
that would make her happy.
It would work really well.
Oh, that was before it, because the next one I've got is, what if Susan sent him a fax?
Okay, yeah, okay. So you did get that.
Yeah.
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 And then I think the sing your way through it, sing your way out, might have been the Billy Madison guy.
Yes. Yeah, so the next one says, what if she killed Billy Madison? Yeah. Because she drops the fruitcake.
Yes.
And doesn't, he's nowhere near him, but, you know, she could have hit him.
Yes, she could have.
What if he gets a record deal from that chimp at Palatine Records?
That's good. Okay, now I know what Sing Your Way Out is, because Mrs. Muchnick tries to sing her way out.
Yes.
You could sing your way out. Okay, now I remember. She starts
playing all the little toys.
She's playing the little timpani toy.
And she does. She gives herself a good song, actually. She does a really good job.
Hey, hey, you. Hey. What if she just yelled, hey, you guys.
Up here, up here, up here.
She tried to do bird noises.
Down here, down here.
He know where she was then.
You're funny, Ed.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the guy comes in with the dogs.
Yeah. Okay.
And I said, what if the dog hater's enemy didn't help? So he goes up and tells them that she's stuck in the elevator.
Yeah, he probably could have just ignored her.
I would have, personally. If someone was like that with my dogs.
I know, but eventually it wouldn't have mattered, because someone else would have walked up there.
Yeah, that's fine. Let her deal with that. She can be stuck in there for a little bit longer.
So we see Steve Martin gives Catherine the gift.
Yep.
And it's not a very good gift. It's like a fruit of the month club or something.
Yes.
And I went, what if it was jelly of the month?
Ooh.
And then she lost her shit.
Yes.
And then he got pulled into her, you know, apartment or wherever it is, and by Randy Quaid, her cousin.
Because she was expecting a pool.
Because she was expecting money for a pool.
Which is very unlikely. Can't even put it in that apartment.
That's right.
I said, so... They're trying to get her out of the elevator, and then they have to go get a screwdriver, and they get distracted.
Yes, I love how he's like, should we use the screwdriver because it'll be in the earthquake kit, and if we take it out...
Yeah, and then it renders the earthquake... It's funny, right? Because I listened to a podcast, and they talked about earthquake kits.
Yeah. It's a legal requirement in Los Angeles, I think.
It is, yes. But the thing is, too, that when you touch the earthquake kit, it renders it used.
Yeah. Yes.
So you do have to replace it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's actually correct, what he's saying.
Yeah. So I got it. And I thought, wow, that's, for anyone else, that goes way over their head. Like, just use a screwdriver. But why do you not have a screwdriver?
He should have a screwdriver.
Somewhere in your apartment. Anyway.
Because this is his apartment, isn't it?
No.
Is he running this from his own apartment?
No, because there's no beds in there. They're just using it like in its additional place.
It looks like. Yeah, that's right, because they've put an office in the lounge and office in the bedroom. I don't know why
you have the apartment where you live and run it out of your apartment.
It's weird, isn't it?
It would have been cheaper for them to run a second phone line from each of their homes, and they could work from home and run the business.
Yeah, probably.
Or run the charity. It's a charity. Yeah, it's a charity, business.
But yeah.
It's a fantasy charity. So they're delaying and getting distracted by other things and not getting the screwdriver. And I said, what if when you called for a miracle, you heard, hey, dickheads?
So I've got one here. It says she murders him with the tin, and I think it might be when she throws the tin at Adam Sandler. What if he like gets conked on the head? Oh, no.
No, the girlfriend throws it and hits Felix.
That's right. It's Felix. Yes. Yeah.
She hits Felix with the tin.
She hits Felix with the tin. What if it kills Felix?
Yeah. I said, what if she's a murderer already? She pours milk into like a sippy cup.
It's so disgusting, because that.
That sippy cup has been out for hours, and she's drinking from it at this point.
Uh-huh.
And I said, what if she got sick from drinking milk that had been sitting out of the refrigerator for hours?
Especially now, Los Angeles.
I know Americans have weird food compared to Australians. I know that their bread over there is fucking shit. I don't even know.
Why is their bread shit?
It's like cake.
Oh.
It's not bread.
That's weird.
Yep, it's like cake. I don't have to be over there to know that. Yeah. I've had a reliable source tell me so.
It's like cake.
I'm listening to Mr. Jim Jefferies. What he says is gospel.
Okay.
So I can only imagine maybe their milk isn't milk.
No, I'm pretty sure it'd be milk.
Are you sure?
I don't think cows give different milk in different convents.
Cake is bread.
Do you think it's actually cream? Because they call it cream.
They call it cream over there. That's right.
So maybe they just skim the part of the top and get rid of the good milk.
Whitener mixed with water.
Oh, it could be that.
It could be that. Powdered milk.
It could be powdered milk.
I don't know. But
maybe it's breast milk. And it's
gross. No, breast milk doesn't look like that. And still, it's gross. Although breast milk is all right when it's warm. So I don't know. I clutched my own breast when I said that. All right, so whilst catching the eviction notice, she stabbed Blanche with the scissors. So they're fighting over this eviction notice.
Yep.
As she literally goes at her face with the scissors in her hand.
Mm.
Like she so easily almost stabs her. It's terrifying how close she comes to injuring her. I feel like there was a blooper there that we missed.
I don't know what this means, but I said something about what if there was no help because she is so tired. I'm pretty sure it's I'm pretty sure it's relating to her.
Yes, yeah, she's by herself. He asked her to stay behind.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so maybe she can't help because she's too tired. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So I need you to work it out.
To the vet.
That's right. You're going to take Felix to the vet.
For the stitches from hitting in his head with the
tongue. Oh, my God. When we get to Felix to the vet, I'm going to talk about this other bit of trivia. This is the dumbest trivia I've ever seen.
He has had a conversation with a caller and given them the address.
Yes, so we haven't really said anything about it.
No. And then,
what if you hadn't given the address?
No, that's right. Although they would never have turned up. But they turned up and the door, she swings the door open and crushes Blanche.
Yes.
So I said, what if they crushed Blanche with the door and killed her? Mm-hmm. So in two quick blows, stabbed with scissors, crushed by door.
Yep.
There's a double death in there.
Did you notice that the industry magazine that Blanche is reading around this time is called Distress? There's an actual industry magazine for people on helplines.
Oh, wow.
That's what it is.
Right.
It says the helpline, whatever like that.
It's an industry magazine for everyone.
I love that.
Industry.
It's really good. Someone mentions the Santa Anas, and I said, what if Ben Lee got inspiration for his song about this?
Ah, the winds.
The winds. I don't know what the Santa Anas are.
They're winds
that come up from the west or something.
That's right, yeah. I've heard it on a song or a movie once, the Santa Ana winds.
So I've got, I just wrote, yes, she's so good at this. And I'm assuming that this is once again talking about, what's her name? Madeline Kahn. I have no idea. I think it's just her doing the one of the calls, she takes this call and she's just really fucking good at it.
Yeah.
And she's hilarious. Anyway, I just wanted to say
how good she was. The woman who thinks her husband's cheating on her or something.
Yes.
Like she goes, I think he is, he is. Move on.
So then I said that she doesn't let them in.
Mm-hmm.
So the one where the door swings open and knocks her out,
yeah.
She just doesn't open the door.
Yeah.
Because she's not going to open it and then she does open and what's her name comes in, Cotton Marie comes in.
Yeah.
So you keep going with your one.
I have one, but I can't remember what it was referring to. I said, what if she threw him?
What if she threw him?
Yeah. At some point, someone looks like she's going to throw him.
Yeah. So do we get to the Cotton Weary dancing yet? Not the first dance, not the dance or whatever. There's a Cotton Weary dance.
Yeah, I think so. You're up to it, yes, because I don't think I have notes on it.
And I said, what if the Cotton Weary dance brings out the ghost of Billy Loomis?
Sorry, I don't know why. He turned into the wedding singer.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't know either.
Oh, okay.
What if all a man needed to notice a woman was to know that she's lusty for him?
Mm-hmm.
So someone uses that in a term and all of a sudden his brain is switched on.
Yeah.
And he wants to take her. I'm lusty for you, David.
I'm lusty
for you. Just so you know, like I'm always lusty for you. Oh, did you see I can hear the change. Yeah. What if Billy Bullfighter's song was finished?
Yeah. Well, I've actually got what if Billy Madison doesn't interrupt?
Yeah.
Because he does a little interrupting there.
He does a bit. He's a bit of a cockblock.
He's really cockblocking.
Yeah.
Because he also likes Catherine. Because he wrote a song about Catherine.
That's right.
What if he doesn't call Cotton Weary a nut? Because that doesn't work out well.
No.
Because that means Cotton goes off and whatever and gets pissed off and leaves.
Yeah. If he would have still been there.
Yeah, because it wouldn't have been the comeback later kind of thing that happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going.
So my next one was...
Felix?
No. So Blanche walks out. Her car battery is flat.
Yeah.
She waits forever and gets that fixed. And she's finally about to take off.
Yeah.
And a flying fruitcake smashes into her car.
Yes.
And I said, what if Blanche was killed again by the flying fruitcake?
Yeah, so there is one more of Felix and Hot, because I've got the one after.
Okay.
So I went, what if Felix had just stayed in the hospital? So so they take Felix. Okay, so we kind of jumped over a bit because there wasn't much in it. But they take Felix down to the vets.
Yes.
And then when they take Felix, because I was looking for that part, but it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
So when they take Felix to the vet.
Yep.
The Rob Reiner comes in expecting a cat.
Yes.
And they've got this thing where he says, oh, Felix was a man's name before it was a cat's name, right? There is actually on the IMDb trivia about whether it was a man's name first or a cat's name. This is the most inane trivia that I had ever seen on IMDb.
Trivia is trivia, man, though. Like, trivia's trivia.
It's so stupid, though. And I don't even care which one was first because it's just dumb.
Yeah.
This line's not funny.
Yeah.
They've intentionally named the character Felix so that this vet part can be funny, but it never hits.
Yeah.
It's like not good.
Yeah.
So anyway, so after that part, he's there. They've taken him to the hospital.
Yeah.
And so he ends up leaving the hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's important that he leaves the hospital because he has to turn up with the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Because without him with the gun, then no one shoots the gun.
Yeah, it doesn't escalate.
Gary Shandling turns up.
Yeah.
He doesn't get killed.
Yeah.
And that whole last part of the movie doesn't make any sense. There's not that whole last part of the movie doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So it kind of it's very important that the gun comes from him. He brings the gun with him.
But doesn't she have it first?
No, he brings the gun with him.
Oh, okay.
But either way, even if she has it, she has no reason to pull it out.
No.
Because he gets it and pulls it out.
Yeah. That's what she said.
The gun, not anything else. Anyway, so then I said, what if he doesn't throw the fruitcake and smash Munchnik's window?
Yeah.
It means that Munchnik does not get to remember Montauk and have beach sex.
That's right. So what if the dog handler was mean to her?
He could have been, see?
Yeah.
But I feel like he sees her vulnerable and he's like, well, actually, you know what? It's a bit rapey in a way, really.
It's very weird. That escalates very quickly.
It doesn't make sense.
She's just, I don't know, he's showing her a bit of compassion and she just flies into his arms.
This is the typical two minor characters
where you hate each other
and then passionate. Put back together.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense.
The whole angry makeup sex thing, that never really has appealed to me.
There's no point to
I know makeup part. Sex has its place.
Yeah.
But you have to be in a good place to do that, not whilst you're still angry.
But I think
I fucking hate you.
I think the two of them have obviously had their memories erased, and she's just remembered Venice Beach.
That is such a David thing to say.
Remember Venice Beach.
What if they got into doggy style with his bitches?
Yeah.
Those poor dogs.
Yeah. What does he do with the dogs while they're doing this?
They're still holding onto the lead.
He's holding the lead?
Yes.
Oh, he's two, isn't he?
Yeah, he's holding onto three dogs whilst he fucks her.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, that's multitasking at its best.
Oh, and she is so tired.
Yeah.
Sick and tired of life.
At least the dog's there to clean up afterwards. They can just clean.
Lisa. Lisa, that's, wow.
No, having sex on the beach with three dogs tied to you, okay, that's fucking wrong.
That's pretty wrong.
And then he kept the dogs.
And then I kept the ducks.
And I kept the ducks.
Do I zip up or?
Yeah. So then there's the gun scene.
Sorry, just give me a minute.
It's okay.
Oh, my God.
Cotton kept the dog. Cotton gets shot in the foot.
Yes.
And then she has to empty the gun by shooting it all over the place.
Yeah.
Windows, shoots doors.
What if emptying a gun meant just removing the bullets and not shooting it?
Right. Right, Americans. So obviously this happened on a Tuesday.
Oh my God. And they just shoot, bang, all over the place. Maybe like she spray shots it.
Maybe she thought a storm was coming because they do that.
He's on the top level?
People.
No, he's on the top level.
Who's he?
The unit they're in. Is it on the top level?
I don't think it's the very top.
Okay, because what if she'd shot upwards and killed someone above them?
Oh, it does appear to be up. Yeah, she could have just shot up.
Or shot out the window, or just remove the bullets from the gun.
Yeah, that would have been smarter. You have to
shoot them. It's not like if you don't. It's not like if you don't use it, you lose it.
I told you, it's an American thing. I can't. It doesn't make sense that you just shoot them out.
Anyway. So then, just after this, they notice the fact that they've shot through the door.
Yes.
And they've heard a noise.
Yes, it's like a boom.
Like a boom. So that could be anyone else at this point. This could be Mrs. Munchnik coming back.
Yes.
This could be the dog guy coming back.
It could be anything, yeah.
This could be what I thought it might have been is, you know, we didn't even mention him, but Stephen Wright is in this movie where he rings up and someone's frustrated, so they just say, do it.
Yeah.
Right? And so you hear a gunshot and you don't see him again, as if he shot himself, right?
No, he could just shot off like to clear it and it was going to come after him.
Exactly. It could have been him. It'd be interesting if it was him.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's Gary Shandling.
Yeah. No, they've killed two people this night.
Yes, they have.
This is the second murder that they've done.
And I said at this point, what if Steve Martin and his friends create a podcast series and call these only murders in the condo? Building.
Oh, love it.
Thank you.
So she feels unwell. Yep. Catherine feels unwell, so he takes her into the bathroom to help her.
Yes.
And he sits her up against the bath while she looks like she's about to faint.
Yeah. He.
So I said, what if she fell into the bath and died?
Yep.
That would have been another death in there. What if the trans woman was tougher? Oh, my God. My foot!
Yeah, she's not tough.
It's just a graze and she's losing her mind, so she needs bandages and stuff. So
mm-hmm.
Billy Madison goes and gets that for her.
Billy Madison.
That's his name.
I know his name's Billy Madison.
He talks like he's from Parker Posey.
He's doing the Billy Madison voice.
I'm just waiting for Gamnemstein.
Oh, if we could just get Gabby on here.
She's in the shower at the moment. That's some Geppetto Pinocchio bullshit right there.
She wouldn't do it anyway, but she does the best. Our daughter does the best Adam Sandler.
And she has this particular one line, and I said, I think it's just because you're saying that one line.
Yeah.
Like, try and just say something, a regular sentence in his voice.
Yeah.
And she nailed it.
Oh, yeah.
So she's very good.
So good.
She's going to be an Adam Sandler impersonator one day.
She doesn't look like him, though.
No, she does not look like him. Thank fuck. I don't want her egg-shaped head. Jesus. It's like an egg on a toothpick.
Yes, I know.
Smooth, but spherical in parts.
Drew Barrymore would have to do...
That was a huge
mistake. Have to do paintings of her head.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going.
What if everyone had a smoke machine in their bathroom for moments like this?
Yes, I was going to mention the smoke machine.
Yeah.
But there is a serious smoke machine happening here.
Now, another thing too, I did my first aid course certificate thing yesterday, so I am now equipped in full first aid. So this makes more sense to me why I'm asking this question. What if all you needed for shock was cock? That is not one of the things we were told to give a patient going into shock. Never did they say a bit of dick will do you good.
Oh,
a dick will do you good. A dick will do the trick, as my eldest daughter just said.
So, my God. Okay, so he's broken up with his fiance, and within a few hours...
He's fucking his co-worker.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
because she's lusty for him.
She is lusty.
And it's been brought to his attention that she's lusty. It's been brought to him
by Mrs. Munchnik.
Munchnik.
But so she has...
She's so lusty.
She might be like Dr. Feelgood here because she's getting some of her own, but she's also making sure those two are.
Yeah.
And look, you know, you never know the Adam Sandler and Chris situation.
Yeah.
Or Billy Madison and Quentin Weary situation. She kind of helps that in a way, maybe. Yeah. More likely someone getting shot in the foot helps that.
Yeah, that's true. Which leads to my next what if. What if Louis and Chris got jiggy?
Yeah.
He changes the song for her.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought he was going to get some Gangnam Style.
Well, I thought it might be a bit like Airheads, where he's like, he plays the dude and all of a sudden he's there with the girl with his pants down.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh.
Oh. So they try to hide his body.
Mm-hmm.
And David and I said both to us, like, why don't they just dress him up as fucking Santa?
It's right there.
It's right there.
It's right fucking there.
My God, people.
I like how
decide to
What's his name
craft decides... him into a tree.
Okay, what's the name decides that he's going to try and cut him into small pieces and send them as Christmas presents?
It's a good idea.
And then she goes, who are we going to send the Christmas presents to? And then wouldn't that be a trail to tell everyone that we'd killed someone, basically? Yeah. Is what I was waiting for her to say. Like, why don't they just do the thing like they do in Chain of Fools where he just takes him to, like, the thoroughfare of Venice Beach and just throws him in the sand.
Yeah, which is really what they could do.
That's basically what they fucking do.
They should have done, tossed him into the ocean, but didn't do that.
No.
They stuffed him like a tree.
And they stuff him with his head the other way.
Yep, down.
Like, they've got him upside down with feet up.
Yep. They hire Tonya Tonman to come over and craft him into a tree.
They're really crafting. Yep. And they're, like, sticking all the things onto him. They're taking a long time to do this.
Martha Stewart would be proud.
Can I just say that this body...
That's a good-looking corpse.
I don't know a lot about dead bodies, but what I know from CSI is you don't really get the rigor mortis-like stuff happen, like, instantly.
Yeah.
But he is, like, stiff as a board.
He is. Well, they've wrapped him really tight, though.
Yeah.
They've wrapped him in the hessian and they've tied him up so that keeps the body firm. But the body still has joints, like the hip is still a joint.
You'd think that he just would tilt over.
Yeah, absolutely. It's still floppy. It's still maneuverable.
Because tree trunks don't have joints.
Yes. And also rigor mortis is rectified with a bit of warmth. Mm. It's from the body going cold.
Yeah.
So if you had a corpse that had rigor mortis and it was stiff, if you just warmed up the limb just with your own hand.
Oh, is that how you do it?
Yeah, allegedly.
Oh, I thought that's how you did it.
No, because I learned that from watching a show about, I think it was the funeral people, casketeers, maybe.
Yep.
So they just to get motion, they just warm up the person's hand and it makes them flexible again. Oh. It's just because they go cold. Once rigor mortis sets in, you don't have to crush it with your foot like that awful woman. Unloaded weapon one. You don't break it like you turn them into a fucking transformer. You just warm them gently. And that's the first thing I thought of. When I learned this fact, I was just like, that bitch stood on her fucking hand for no reason.
Poor fucking Whoopi Goldberg.
I know. She's got a crushed hand. No wonder she was in the colour purple. That's what her hand looks like now. Okay, so what if they just dressed him like Santa?
Yeah.
What if all any of them needed was just to get laid?
Yeah.
All these people seem to do, they just improved with sex.
Well, they do.
Apparently.
I feel like they just needed it.
Yeah. So then the police are called to the scene because they get caught with him as a Christmas tree.
Before we do that. Okay. Yep. So they've got the, what do you call it? They've got him with the bag and everything.
Yep.
What if they hadn't brought his bag with them?
Yes.
Because there is a point where they're like, oh, let's bring his bag.
Yeah. Well, they want to get rid of all his,
the fact but that they, what here. If they'd forgot and not seen the bag?
Yes.
Because that makes a big difference to the end of the movie.
Or they chose to hide it.
Yeah, they chose to hide it or something because that changes the whole end of the movie.
If they'd chosen to dress him as Santa, this too would also not be taking place.
Mm-hmm.
None of this other stuff comes to
What if
to
they
light.
Don't run into Mrs. Munchnik at this point?
Because
when they run into her, there is something happens because she's there. What does she do? She does something at this point. I can't remember what it is. And then what if there was no cyclists?
Yeah.
So the cyclists run into them.
Yes.
And knock their tree down.
Yep, again.
Again. And they're like, what if it was a different sort of fast as they ran into each other?
Yeah.
And then cyclists picked up the dead body tree
and
rode off with it.
That would have been
cool. I was waiting for that to happen.
That would have been so National Lampoon.
It would have been very funny. I'm waiting for that to happen.
Nice tree, Todd.
Yeah, and then they're riding off and then they're like, okay, now we're going to. Wait a sec.
Yeah.
This isn't our tree.
Yeah.
And then that's just the end of the movie.
Yeah.
That'd be great. And then it just cuts to like a sirens chasing the cyclists around.
Did you put a pair of shoes in the tree?
Why is Gary Shandling in my tree?
Yeah. This just got better.
Okay.
What if the Victorian police were at this scene?
Yep.
Because they would start a shooting? Or the ex-boyfriend in Best in Show?
He threatens to stick his something twine. Keep going.
So I said, what if they needed more proof? They open the bag and discover he's the whatever strangler. But what if you need more proof?
Yeah, no, I don't think there's enough proof.
It's just, you know, let's not assume that they're off for murder. Arrest her. Don't tell her she's got $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that's my next one. Three? Like, it's you wouldn't check his apartment, make sure there's more proof that he's the killer. Anyone could be carrying fake. He might have an aquarium or he's a fisherman.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It could be anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand why. I'm trying to look at this note. He threatens to stick his thumb. His twin?
Twine?
His twine?
He threatened to stick his twine.
His stick is twine.
I don't know.
I've written some kind of haiku here.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. And then I don't know where it came from, but I'm pretty sure there's a part where they did the thing and I just said, what if that was their own personal El Guapo?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. I think I was just writing things from movies at this point.
She goes into labor.
Yes. Said,
what if her going into labor at 7 months proves that the baby isn't his? And he gets upset by this. What if they choose an inside location? Considering like they're right outside the building. Yeah. No, they usher her to a tree outside.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is hilarious. Or, you know, the police could have zoomed her to a hospital in one of their police cars. Just an idea.
They could have. The one thing about this is, and I'm going to jump to my last one, is that in this scene, all the streetscape is just people, right?
Yeah.
And then they do this fade in the last scene.
Yeah, and they show all disappear.
And they all disappear, but all the cars are there. Yes. I'm like, where the fuck are all these cars?
Yeah, it's like they closed off the street.
Yeah.
Then as the sun came up, the road blockade went away.
And then all these cars are here again. It's weird. Anyway. Yeah,
it is weird. It's a very weird dissolve. So what if murdering an unconvicted, suspicious murderer
gets is okay? You. Yeah, and it gets you money.
Yeah, that negates that. The fact that you killed somebody negates it because he was a bad person.
Yeah.
And why is Dexter even a thing? He's a hero. He should work with Batman and solve crimes.
See, Batman is the best superhero.
Yes, I agree. Shut up, Dad. What if Chris and Catherine are with a C, Louis?
God. But yes, they are.
Yes.
Because we saw it inside the credits, so we know. And I've got one that you made me write because I said it and you said, write this one down.
Write that down then.
Are you ready for this one? So there's a kiss at the end, which is Steve Martin and Rita Wilson, right?
Yeah.
And I wrote, what if you licked her ass earlier? I said it as a joke and then you went, write that down. And I went, all right, I'll say it again on the podcast.
Shit breath. That's nice.
Oh, at the end of this movie, I still want to figure out these two, that he threatens to stick something twin and my own personal one, Guapo, because they're in that last scene, but I can't think what they are. Anyway, I think he does a bit of a like, you know, everyone's happy and everyone got what they wanted. And I was like, what if everyone got their own personal one, Guapo? Or maybe I was trying to say, what if Gary Shandling was their personal one, Guapo?
Maybe he was, wasn't he?
And yeah.
They defeated him.
They did defeat him. And you know what? What if they'd shot anyone else? Then this movie doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And there's so many. This movie has more what if things that have to happen for this last ending.
Yeah.
If this is a choose your own adventure movie, you very rarely get to this point.
This is true.
All right.
Well, that was mixed nuts.
It was mixed nuts. It's a very quick episode.
I'm sorry if anyone was allergic and this movie was triggering for them. I really, you know. Luckily, you can't.
We just need to explain that we did watch this like 3 days ago.
Yes.
And so that's why we can't remember half the movie.
Yes.
And we probably should have refreshed ourselves slightly. Slay.
Shut up.
Why are you saying slay? Oh, for a daughter. Okay. Fair enough. Our daughter doesn't like us to say slay.
She doesn't like me doing anything that is beyond my age range.
You know what I should do is I should write at the start of this bit thing, have us both saying slay and just have it saying it. Three or four times.
No, we just make it out.
But she won't listen to the podcast anyway. Record
it and then we'll sneak it as a ringtone on her phone.
Into the thing, just goes, slay. I wonder if Chris can slay. I feel like Chris can slay.
Slay like Christmas, like Santa's slay.
Oh, do you think that's why that character's called people. Chris? By the way, we didn't talk about this, but the character of Cotton Mary, Chris.
Chris can be a Chris boy, Chris girl name.
Yeah. No. The character, what I was going to say is, the character of Chris, right? How obnoxious is his family?
Oh, they're fucking assholes.
Fucking assholes.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate though.
Oh yeah, it's accurate, but they are so assholes.
Yeah.
Like in this movie, the people who are actually likable
Is Steve Martin likable in this movie?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
I think Rita, like Catherine?
No.
You don't like her at all?
Not really, no.
Not likable?
No.
We definitely know we don't like Juliette Lewis.
I think the most likable character in this is Blanche.
Yes, Mrs. Munchnik.
She's so tired.
I'm cheering for her the whole fucking movie. I love her so much.
Her best performance is when she's trapped in the elevator.
Yes, she's doing the song.
Playing with the toys. It's so cool.
That is so cool.
And she keeps hanging her out with her dead husband's family.
Yes, her dead husband's sister.
Yeah, have fun with your dead husband's sister. They keep
and then
saying,
at the end he says, have fun with your dead sister's husband.
Yeah.
And she's
her sister-in-law. Just because he's dead doesn't negate the fact that she's still his sister-in-law.
No, but she's saying it because it's more like...
Yeah, I know what she's trying to do. I understand.
I'm hanging out with them.
Yes.
Whatever.
I get it.
I feel like she's trying to say that she doesn't really want to do
this. No, she's trying to, like, it's a cry for help.
Yeah, it is a cry for help.
Yeah. Yeah. She's not really upset that she's not going anywhere.
Do you think at the end of this, at the end of the next year, when they're having Christmas,
yeah,
do you think these people are having Christmas again together?
I don't know if they're all having Christmas together, but I know that she's probably doing it doggy on the beach with Mr. Dog Walker.
Could do it.
Mm.
Could very well be that.
Yeah.
Do you think? I don't know. I think she might just be a booty call for him.
Oh, maybe. Maybe she starts dating a whole bunch of dog walkers. Maybe that becomes her
She fetish. Likes it. She likes it. The dog walkers.
Yeah, she likes the
panting. Because she doesn't really like dogs before that.
Maybe she likes hearing the panting in the background. That's her kink.
The thing. That's the thing that gets him on board,
mm-hmm.
is that she treats the dog nicely.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah,
mm.
I'm in for this. You treat my bitch nice?
Yeah.
I make you my bitch.
Yeah. You sound so black.
Yeah, I didn't mean to.
No.
He's not a very black man.
No, he's so not. He's so white. He's Jewish white.
He's more Rob Reiner than anything else.
Indeed.
In fact, Rob Reiner probably could have played both roles. It would be quite hilarious if he played both.
Incredibly, but funny. Okay, so that was Mixed Nuts.
That was Mixed Nuts.
So my turn for a Christmas movie.
Oh, wait, did you enjoy Mixed Nuts?
It was all right.
Yeah, I think you did.
It was okay. We'll it had some moments. I don't know if I'll watch it again.
Anthony Paglia
was good.
He was good.
He was really good. Joe.
Joe's money.
I thought, where's Lucas going to turn up?
Man, it's Beetle.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, your choice.
My choice.
Do you need to pause?
You know no, what you want? I know what I want. I'm right there with you.
You're right there with me.
Right there with you.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I don't know.
I'm doing the song inside my head. Do, 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 do. We're going to do The Santa Claus.
I knew you'd pick The Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
I knew you would pick The Santa Claus. I'm like, this is so going to happen.
Yeah.
So that means I'm going to have to pick Santa Claus 2 and you'll pick Santa Claus 3.
Oh, God, there's too many Santa Clauses.
I think there's 3 of them, isn't there?
Probably.
I don't know.
But yes, so the original one with Tim Allen. Adam Sandler. Fuck.
Adam Sandler in the Santa Claus?
I'm going to turn into Santa.
Oh, Steve Carell's Santa Claus would be good. Because he pretty much does it when he's in Evan Almighty.
Will Ferrell. I'm in a white beard of commotion. I'm trapped.
Oh my God. This was a bad idea. Okay, we could definitely think. Okay, we could say. This. We could do this next time.
Yeah.
Let's put a little pin in it.
Put a pin in it.
And let's say it's not Tim Allen.
No.
And let's put all the different comedians in there and do our versions of what their Santa Claus would be like.
I mean, straight off, the guy that plays Al Borland has got to be number one choice.
Yeah.
Beyond everyone else. But we will put
He's assistant. He assists him. You know, it'd be really funny.
He should have been the elf.
I was about to say that. Al Borland should have played one of the elves.
He should have. Instead of... Have you got a prophylactic?
A prophylactic?
I'm okay.
Sorry. You make him sound too.
I know. I know how I make him sound.
I'm okay. You make him sound like Ethel Merman. Hey, I'm okay.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
Hello, my baby.
But it's not that far off for each voice that I got to admit. All right.
Okay. Before we shall watch The Santa Claus.
Yes.
And then it is a binding contract that we must watch it.
Yes.
Otherwise, it will keep coming on our TV until we watch it.
Correct. And that will be the 13th of December. Because I can count 4 plus 7 equals 13.
Oh, I'm going to figure
it out. Oh, no. Not 13th. It's going to be the 11th. The 11.
It's 4 plus 9 is 13. Yeah. So it'll be 4 plus 4 7.
4 and 7 is 11.
That's right.
It'll be the day after my dead mum's birthday.
It's the 11th. Did you know that the Christmas day this year is going to be on the episode date?
Yes, because it falls on a Monday. On
the Monday.
And fun fact, next year, my birthday is Mother's Day.
I know.
And I went through the calendar because I do a new calendar every year with all the things on it so that I know when all my car regos are due.
Mother's Day in Australia if you're from another country, but it doesn't really matter.
I figured they'd understand that by now. The fucking accents, come on, mate.
Yeah, but you know what?
Americans.
They all have their Mother's and Father's Days in weird parts of the year.
They do. Father's Day, no.
Is Mother's Day the same?
I feel like Mother's Day is the same, but Father's Day falls on different times. I know England Father's Day is like...
June or something. Yeah. July. Yeah,
I feel like
it's earlier in the year.
I feel like Mother's Day is universal.
Is it May?
Yeah.
For everyone?
It is. Because it was started by... The whole reason Mother's Day came about was it was a day to commemorate her dead mum.
Yes.
Which is ironic.
Yes.
But yes.
It's ironic. It's her Mother's Day.
Yeah, yeah. It's all but part it of was her because day. Her mum was dead.
Yeah.
Not because she wanted to honour her living mum. It was because it was a...
I suppose. It's a bit strange.
It was born out of grief. My point was, basically, what are you looking at?
Looking at the Buffy graphic novel thing.
Oh, yeah, they're jumping that way. They're going that way. That's supposed to be Faith, I think, which fucking is weird.
Ooh.
If it's not, if it's...
It doesn't look like her.
No, it's weird. But, yes, so when I was going through the calendar and I noticed, I said, oh, warning kids, my birthday and Mother's Day is the same day. And they're like, okay, so you just get one present. I'm like, oh, no, no, no.
Oh, no. Our kids said that.
Yeah.
We're
going
to have to smash them.
I get two separate presents. Hold on, I'll be back. No, don't worry.
I'll be back. Come here, you.
It was you were upset by the fact that I said you'd have to have two separate presents.
No, that wasn't me.
That wasn't you? That was who?
I don't know. Me.
It was one of my kids. Okay, stop hitting them.
All right, I'm back.
So, yeah.
They'll never do it again. Ah, my hands are sore.
Yeah, no, I said we're doing it all, we're doing separate, two separate.
For podcast versions, we can't really hear you, Nat.
Maybe they can hear her. But, yeah, anyway, she's just a penis.
Penis is large.
Yep, she does have a large penis. That's good.
Okay. Anyway, let's conclude our episode.
Yes. So, yeah. What was I, why did I talk about?
I don't know.
Oh, because I was talking about the dates.
Yeah, the dates, yeah. The
dates, yeah. So Monday, the 25th of December.
I'm under a lot of pressure to pick a really good movie now for my second choice. I just don't know what I'm going to do.
Because then this one's the 11th, and then you're on the 18th. And then mine falls on 25th. The actual Christmas day.
And then my one will be on New Year's Day.
Oh, that's quite...
I'm going to have to do a movie with you two in it.
Nope.
Oh.
I had to shut that shit down. That's terrible.
Maybe I could do... I don't know. We'll
maybe you could just, you know, you could just drive me to the edge, and that will be enough.
Could do postcards from the edge.
Yeah, you could. You could do that.
Yes.
Do you, I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know. We'll think about it. I still got to think about Christmas one first.
Yeah. So enjoy your week and the chaos that is leading up to Christmas. And we will see you next Monday. We won't see you. We will talk to you with our voices.
That's
and
right.
You will listen to us with your ear holes. And we will talk
are you listening?
The Santa Claus. All right. Snow Thank is you for glistening. Listening. David is singing.
Beautiful show.